Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, and this is your Sunday Spin. I was just out on the WGN Storm Center patio, and I have to tell you, it's gorgeous out. I mean, yes, I know the sun isn't out, and you know, kind of hazy and not drizzly or anything, but it is absolutely gorgeous out. No excuse to light the grill. As I address that directly to Bob, the engineer, it's time to get the grill lit. Okay. I closed out the last segment with the Super PAC ad that was being run against Bernie Sanders. So I thought for equal time purposes, Bernie Sanders is delivering his closing ad to Iowa.
There are those who say we cannot defeat a corrupt political system and fix a rigged economy. But I believe we need to lift our vision above the obstacles in place and look to the American horizon. To a nation where every child can not only dream of going to college, but attend one. Where quality health care will be a birthright of every citizen. Where a good job is not a wish, but a reality. Where women receive equal pay and a living wage is paid to all. An America where after a lifetime of labor, there is time for rest and grandchildren. A nation that defends our people and our values, but no longer carries so much of that burden alone. I know we can create that America if we listen to our hearts, and that journey begins here in Iowa. I'm Bernie Sanders. I approve this message, and I ask you to join with us at the caucuses on Monday night. Thank you.
Of course, Amanda Vinicky, you can tell it's an uplifting ad because of the music in the background.
Yes, it was. It is a little bit waking me up this morning, a little bit. Oh. You know, I have to say, Rick, I recently took a long weekend and headed down to Nauvoo, Illinois, in the Quad Cities, just because I had never been there. And being across the river in Iowa, just to even go out to eat, not even to watch a football game or anything, but just being around a TV, and I had my fill of all of those ads in a matter of hours.
It does not take long. This, of course, is Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief for Illinois Public Radio and WUIS-FM in Springfield. And Amanda, thanks for getting up with me this morning. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. For you, anytime.
Well, that's very, very nice to hear. And yeah, it is, and we're going to spend the 8 o'clock hour talking a roundtable about the Iowa caucuses. And you know, even driving in that part of western Illinois and northwestern Illinois, just even listening to the radio is, mm-hmm. you know, it's just nonstop. And we'll have Roger Ruthart, the managing editor of the Argus Dispatch in the Rock Island Moline area, on, and he'll definitely be filling us in on all the advertising that's going on. But I wanted to speak to Amanda this morning about the week passed in Springfield, a week marked by the second State of the State address by Governor Bruce Rauner. And we talked about earlier about Donald Trump being the elephant not in the room by not participating in the debate. And the elephant in the room, but not really touched upon in that speech, was the fact that here we are entering another month without a state budget.
Yeah, it was, I think, pretty incredible that he didn't address it. And there are some groups that are angry about that. So, you know, Democrats kind of wondering, and then social service groups that were outside, you could hear some muffled protests throughout the speech, and they were, have been demanding a plan, continued to make that throughout the State of the State address, but the only reference that we got was all of us in this chamber had a difficult year in 2015, which I think many people would say is an understatement, as we debated a budget with structural reform. That was pretty much the only time that Governor Bruce Rauner even made mention of the stalemate in any sort of true fashion. And even that wasn't just the budget. It was coupled with code for his turnaround agenda. And that is what he means by structural reform. And, you know, didn't give any sort of plan. I did, of course, ask some Republicans, and they say, just hold up February 17th. There's a budget address, and we'll get all of that. But I think there's just this frustration because how can you talk about the state of Illinois right now without mention of that? You know, tomorrow will be month 8. And of course, Illinois has never been anywhere near having gone that long in the past. And as I said, the social service providers that are affected and universities kind of wondering, hey, wait, what's up over here? We're just supposed to keep on waiting and waiting and waiting.
And of course, there was no backing down of those, quote, structural reforms, the what the governor calls his turnaround agenda, the pro-business union weakening efforts that he's trying to make part of a condition for moving forward with any budget.
No, there was no backing down at all. I guess there was a backing down in the rhetoric. We didn't actually hear him use the phrase, for example, turnaround agenda. But he continued to talk about and make the case that redistricting and term limits need to occur. And he said, hey, you told me you're too closer to an election year for that. Let's go. I'm ready for those constitutional amendments. He continued to say, use the phrase, a grand compromise, which is something we'd heard from him before, that this is all one part of a big package. Of course, he did use the word compromise, mutual respect, those sort of things. So as I said, turned down the rhetoric, but really did continue to make all of his demands for the state, for the elements that really Democrats say they're not ready to back away from. Talked again about prevailing wage, collective bargaining when it comes to property taxes. And he doubled down some, I would say, on AFSCME. There was a full chunk of the speech where Governor Rauner went after what he said were their demands that were out of touch with reality. This is, of course, as he has moved to declare an impasse in negotiations with the union that represents most state employees.
I know a lot of attention, and something, frankly, I gave a lot of attention to was the tone of the speech, particularly in the fact that in the days, weeks leading up to this speech were very much kind of a campaign-type-oriented use of rhetoric by the governor, sharply criticizing House Speaker Michael Madigan. Yet in the speech, he didn't address Madigan by name. And in fact, some Republicans were saying, well, see, he is adopting a softer tone. But, you know, we've kind of seen this before.
Right. You know, we've seen him go waffle a little bit, I guess, on how harsh he wants to be with Michael Madigan. I think it's clear that his position on Madigan and Rauner placing really a huge part of the blame for where Illinois is at and using Madigan as a representation of all that is wrong in Illinois. It's clear he really believes that, I think, or at least he wants voters to believe so, but he just didn't use this particular speech to do it. So that's where I'm not sure that Madigan swallowed it. That was pretty evident as soon as he had an availability after the fact and answered questions from reporters and continued his skepticism of the turnaround agenda. He continues to say, yeah, I'll work with the guy. I will be polite. It does not, you know, give back really the name calling. He would maybe have a spokesman do a little of that and had, you know, compared Rauner to Blagojevich a bit. But it was really more that I think this focus and tone, you had to do that, we as reporters, because it was such a shift from even really like 2 days before. On Monday, Rauner had made comments about Madigan in that fashion. So part of it would have been, to have gone before a joint session of the General Assembly. And there are more House Democrats than there are any other member of the General Assembly caucus. So to go there and to insult their leader in that fashion in what's Madigan's chamber, because Rauner is giving this speech in the Illinois House, would have been pretty incredible. I mean, that would have been the story that we all wrote. And we were all watching and waiting because of the comments that he has made, because he does seem to say at every turn the state of the state is Madigan's fault, that we were waiting for that. But the administration clearly making a point to soften the tone. And it's, I think, going to be a matter of, okay, how long is that going to work for? Because maybe it is that he believes he'll get farther in negotiations by not publicly lashing Madigan at every turn. And he's gotten advice from his pal slash enemy, I guess frenemy, we'll call him, Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel on that, and President Cullerton saying, hey, maybe not a wise point to start negotiations with somebody by running commercials, calling him a crook, which is somewhat what Rauner did with Madigan. But there was no actual apology during this speech, no recognition of, hey, I know I've said a lot of harsh things, but I want to start over. It wasn't that. It was a softening of the tone, middle of the road, and we'll see how long it lasts and if it works, if in fact that is the intent.
Well, and you mentioned Mayor Emanuel as well, and he did not directly reference the mayor, who in the days leading up to the speech he labeled as a failure, as someone who was tone deaf. But he did say in the speech he criticized, he said there was some growth going on in the economy in the Chicago area despite the financial mismanagement of the city and Cook County. So he still couldn't help himself on that.
Oh, no, no. He was, I actually have this speech in front of me. So here it was, yes, there has been growth thanks to the, they've been able to overcome the, quote, financial mismanagement that is now strangling Chicago and Cook County. So as you noted, Rick, he just couldn't help himself. And, you know, I mean, I think that there are a lot of people who cheerlead that and say, yeah, he's right. This is ridiculous. And they don't want Rauner to back down. That's why they elected him. Then I think there are plenty of voters who elected him for, yeah, some change, but maybe not this variety of change. They wanted somebody who would do something, who'd take action, who was the supreme negotiator and had business sense, when in fact they say, all right, 8 months in, businesses don't like that. This is terrible. And this isn't what we were expecting out of you, Governor. And then, of course, there are the Democrats and unions who are in Pat Quinn himself, who has had a sort of mini rehab tour that I think is in the I told you so phase of, hey, we warned you. He didn't like unions, and he tried to say that he wouldn't during the general election, but look, this is how he really feels. And so I don't know. Do you want a governor who, as is seen with the Trump candidacy, there is an appetite from voters of somebody who will tell it like it is and tell them what they really feel. And sometimes, though, maybe when they say what you really feel, that's going to present give you a really divided public.
We're speaking with Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief, Illinois Public Radio, and WUIS-FM in Springfield. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm speaking with Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief at Illinois Public Radio and WUIS-FM in Springfield. We're talking about the past week in Springfield, the governor's State of the State address. And Amanda, I got a text from someone who has a question about, since the Democrats have a veto-proof supermajority, why wouldn't they just go ahead and pass a budget? It's someone who's unsure about what the dynamics are going on. Help us out, will you?
Yeah, you know, and that is a really good question, and one that we as reporters continue to ask the legislative leaders. And first of all, they would say, we did pass a budget. That actually happened in May. So they say the reason Illinois is in this place right now is because Governor Rauner took his veto pen to all of it, save for the money that goes to schools. And he did not use, they say, his constitutional ability and authority to go through, and if he thought it was out of balance, take charge and cross out line items or make reductions in spending. He's the one that says he's open to a tax hike but isn't willing to do it unless he gets his way on structural reform, because he says that'll just lead Illinois down this wrong path. So, okay, go ahead, they said. We've passed our priorities. We want you to work with us on revenue and go ahead and do it. He didn't do that. And they, however, never did call for an override of those vetoes. And actually, even this week, I know I asked that question to Speaker Madigan. All right, hey, but you never called him for an override. We've heard this now for 8 months. And he said, well, yeah, we don't have working super majorities. And he didn't get into a lot of detail, but part of this is that you have a couple of Democratic representatives who go their own way, much as Madigan is known for control. And people say often, hey, if push came to shove, he could get them on board. A tax hike isn't one of those things that they want to be on board for. These couple of members say, we aren't going to go along with a budget that is admittedly out of balance. And some of them don't want a tax hike either. Then you have this Representative Ken Duncan from Chicago, who is on a bit of an island,
He's well prepared for that island. He's got his sleeping bag. He's got his backpack. One of the most bizarre uses of props I've ever seen at a Statehouse press conference was Ken Duncan coming into the Blue Room down at the State Capitol carrying a sleeping bag and wearing a backpack and carrying an insulated bag with a bottle of water and a bar of soap.
Saying that he would camp out in the Capitol until there is a budget. But if you listen to those words, always be careful when you listen to what politicians say and parse carefully. He said, I want all of you to join me. So I did not stay overnight in the Capitol myself, but just a couple of hours after that, I walked by the House Speaker's office where Mr. Duncan had said that he was going to stay, and followed up with the Speaker's office. And no, there was no camp out there of Ken Duncan or otherwise. So despite all of those props, I'm not sure he got any good use out of them.
and indeed, someone tweeted a picture. It looked like it was taken in the kind of the tunnel that connects the Stratton office building with the state capitol, and it was Duncan along with several aides, and it was the aides who were carrying the sleeping bag, the backpack, and the insulated cooler. So be careful what you
for the long night ahead.
Be careful what you wish for going to work in Springfield. So what do you think? Where do things lead? We talked about, we've got the governor's budget message coming up. It seems to me there's a lot of chatter about obviously having to acknowledge the lack of a budget, that what may come here is now let's look at a two-year budget.
That is a lot of the chatter that I'm hearing, and really it's getting to the point where maybe Illinois doesn't have, you know, much of a choice. I think, again, that's going to be really frustrating to a lot of people. Even the that have received funding are wondering, okay, what are we going to get for next year? How do we make decisions? We need to plan our budgets ahead. So much of what the state sends is, you know, contingent on these other areas. It's really left a whole lot of confusion. And again, that would, of course, be unprecedented. Illinois has never been in this sort of situation, but with a primary election coming up rapidly, and then you have the general election that is on the horizon, there is a lot of doubt as to when Illinois will be able to come together and make these controversial decisions, despite Rauner softening his tone and also offering sort of olive branches. He's characterized them as that to particularly Senate President John Cullerton on pensions and on looking at school funding, though Rauner in his speech basically acknowledged that he doesn't want just what Cullerton wants, because he doesn't want suburban schools to take any sort of cut. Not that Cullerton wants that, but just the changes in a funding formula. This plan would be because Illinois doesn't have a ton more money, not to leave everybody hold harmless, but to get some additional money to the schools that are really in need, where they don't have the local property tax base to be able to properly fund them. So, you know, this is all in the works, and yeah, it might just be a budget that goes retroactive as well as looking ahead.
You know, when we talk about and take a look at this dysfunction, and I know he was before your time, you young thing, but the passing of Phil Rock last week, and it just, you know, when I look back to the Phil Rock years, and I've even mentioned in the obituary about people, critics as well as supporters referred to him as, and here he is, the Democratic Senate president, referred to him as Republican Governor Jim Thompson's floor leader many times. and it just shows how the dynamics of Washington and the dysfunction of Washington, the kind of winner-take-all mentality, really has now infused itself in Springfield, which part of the reason I always like covering Springfield was the fact that you did have people, and you're seeing it now and people reacting to Phil Rock's death, is you had people that actually, yeah, you'd play politics when you had to play the politics, but then there's also this thing called statesmanship, and it's that seems to be something that's sorely lacking these days.
You know, I, as you noted, had never had the opportunity to meet, interview, or cover Phil Rock, but in reading some of the stories about him and just the characterization, I think a lot of Illinois residents probably pine for something like that. That is somebody who, you know, quotes would say he got things done, fair-minded, less vitriol, and there's so much of that right now in Springfield. There is not just the hyper-partisanship and the lack of getting things done on a basic level, but there's also the spending. And that is, of course, a big contributor. We talk about, for example, Representative Duncan, he just got a lot of money tossed toward his race by an outside PAC that is supposedly trying here to help Democrats that make decisions that are more pro-business and against the status quo and seemingly against Madigan. And that has been seen by some as a sort of front for Rauner, who obviously has a ton of his own money downstate here. A Rauner-affiliated money is being poured into a race of the sole Republican that didn't stick with the administration on a vote that would have that Rauner really wanted regarding AFSCME again. So there's all of that. Duncan, I should mention, also having ads run against him, it seems, by Madigan's side. So, I mean, there's just all sorts of money, and it gets really tough to shake that hand and make a deal when there is so much distrust, number one, and number two, when everybody's, you know, looking over their shoulder at every turn, wondering when something that maybe they say in a moment of honesty or crossing the aisle is going to be seen not as a, hey, we applaud you, we're going to include that in your obituary, is something that is a quality sign of statesmanship, and instead will be used in an ad or in a brochure trying to keep you from returning to Springfield.
That's really the true state of the state when it comes to Springfield. Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief at Illinois Public Radio and WUIS-FM in Springfield, thanks very much for joining me this morning.
Sure. Have a great rest of the show, guys.
We'll be back with more right after this.